back, everyone. So let's remove the bookmark and continue our story. So, after the events that had just transpired, King Yulai wrapped with Monaco with this new glowing, with your scar no longer glowing as brightly as before, it seems to be contained, though it has a red hue, and the scar itself has not shrunk at all. Duran, you walk out and reminisce about the times you had and the time you wasted, while Cal, you're making your way towards the Gray District to check on the Knights of Equipoise. We start with Horatio, who has since walked up back into the Manor's library and continued studying his books. So, how long do you plan on staying reading these books?
I mean, he's gonna read through basically all of them. So, I was thinking he would probably, I don't know if you would allow it, but he would prepare his spells for the next day and then spend the rest of the night reading.
Oh, no, I'll allow it.
Yeah, so that's what he does.
Okay, so you're not going to take a long rest and just read throughout the night? You've already just benefited from one, so you don't
need
one.
Yeah, I'm not going to take one. But I'm just going to read through the night.
Okay. So you go ahead and begin reading the books, Horatio, learning bit by bit exactly what you're dealing with over at Rainbow Ridge. Roll me an investigation check at advantage. See how much you're able to get within this time.
I rolled a 26.
26. Not bad. So, Horatio, start to read the book, read about famous liches, and they're actually about within, you read about the history of Duskhaven specifically. That seems to be what's contained within this library. It's not all about the information throughout the void, but it's more than enough in what you need to figure out your next steps. You read about, there was 6 liches within the history of Duskhaven. That's at least worth mentioning within these books. And the 6 are Alvamar the Black, A-L-V-A-M-O-R, M-A-R, Alvamar the Black, Laroque the Wise, L-A-R-O-C-H, the Wise.
Can you repeat that last one? I'm sorry.
Laroche, L-A-R-O-C-H, the Wise. Val Sharoon the Broken, V-E-L-S-H-A-R-O-O-N, the Broken. Alicia Ambergal, A-L-I-C-I-A-L, Ambergal, A-M-B-E-R-G-U-L. Jamiah, J-A-M-A-Y-A-H, and Villasandra the Undying. That's spelled V-I-L-A-S-A-N-D-R-A, the Undying. Throughout time, these liches have lived and have been vanquished by heroes not too unlike yourselves, either demon dancers or by Unity Knights or by adventurers. You read how Alvamar the Black was the first lich to ever rise up back in the days of Yggdrasil. At least that's what you surmise from what you know of Yggdrasil, because it doesn't go into much detail exactly when it happened. But from the clues, and with your keen mind, you can assume, you find out he's back from the time of Yggdrasil. He delved in black magic, one of the first humans to do so, and doing that, he wanted to live forever, corrupting himself, turning into a lich, the first that has been seen in Yggdrasil. He was defeated by heroes. It doesn't mention their names, just description of them. From the descriptions of the heroes who fought him, it seems to be there was like a tall gentleman carrying a strong big axe with fiery red energy. And then it goes on to speak of a woman with wild brown hair wielding magics unseen. And going on, you're able to, just not even having to roll for it, just with your keen mind, realize that these are all descriptions of the Aegis, that from what you saw during your trip when you got there. But it talks about how they destroyed his phylactery. It doesn't mention how, but in doing so, freed the world from his tyranny. Then it goes into Laroque the Wise, who was following in the footsteps of Alvamar and obtained centuries of life until he was brought down by other adventurers. And then it goes on to Val Sharoon the Broken One, and how this was the most powerful lich of them all, said to rise from the pits of Tartarus itself, that He was not only was a human who turned into a lich, but more so a spirit piercing the veils from the undead, coming back to life, and then taking on the form of a lich, finding a phylactery to put their spirit into. How this creature was felled, you don't know. It's not written. But they definitely, it does say that they were locked away. Alicia Ambergill was a Kapoor's Arcana witch who delved in magic that she could not control, and she had to be dispatched by the leader of the Kapoor's. Jamaya seems to be some type of druid who delved into druidic version of becoming a lich. And finally, Villasandra the Undying. That's all you see. You don't see a name or anything else, any information, whether they are dead, just Villasandra the Undying.
Okay, and then Alicia Ambergill was a Corporis Arcana witch. That what happened to her?
She delved into magic forbidden. Doesn't say what magic was forbidden, just that she delved into forbidden Corporis magic, and she had to be dispatched by the leader of the Corporis. And this happened centuries ago.
Jemiah was basically a druid lich, and then Velissa the Undying, there's no info on her.
No info on her.
Okay. Seeing how they were, how they spoke about Alvamar being destroyed, or being killed by having his phylacteries destroyed, Raisha would then go on to that book on how to dispose of liches.
Okay. Going more into the wee hours, it's taking you hours to read through all this information. You start to go on and read about how to destroy a lich. And it does go into details. You learn about the phylactery, how they put pieces of their soul in there so they can live. Once they're destroyed, within about a 10-day, they're able to reform, and they'll reform somewhere within the vicinity of phylactery. They keep it well protected. Some keep it far away into different planes, while others keep it close by because they would want to appear where they had been felled, where their mission is. Though, depending on each lich is different, and they're tied to, they have access to just extraordinary magic. And also, not all phylacteries are destroyed the same ways. It does go into several different rituals you could perform to either discover how to destroy the phylactery, but nothing set in stone. It's actually, depending on the power of the lich, depends on how you would be able to dispose of it. That's about what you're able to get from it.
He would also, on each of these liches, he would probably look for descriptors, something that like is a dead giveaway of whom is who, or you get what I'm saying? Like,
okay, sure. Villasandra the Undying, you don't get, there's nothing listed on her. Jemiah says that has necrotic but forest like energy, almost like a rot, tainted forest, that you'd be able to, someone tied into the arcane or into nature will be able to pick up. Alicia Ambergill, it doesn't go into much detail on her magic as she was dispensed, but she was an illusionist, very keen. You could pick her up by the very subtle fragments of illusion that gets set around. Val Sharoon is a master of serpents and controls undead serpent-like creatures, and then gives off the dark necrotic energy of a serpentine-like. LaRouche is a master of evocation, and just being within his presence will give you the aura of just massive power of magic that comes with the evocation school of magic. And Alvamar the Black, it just says, is a master of curses and the progenitor almost of black magic, that of what humans know of it.
Okay, and LaRouche's evocation, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so takes all that information. What other books are there on liches?
There's more like liches on lich, how to become a lich, or how liches are come to be, and the rituals that go into it, but it doesn't go into much detail, just mentions them, not saying you need to do this, that,
right.
not an actual step-by-step.
Yeah, no, he skims through that info.
Other than that, that's throughout all the books, these are all the information you're able to push together.
Depending on what time of the day it is, if it's daytime, he would meet with the group. If it's still night, he would probably just go look up a book about ley lines and read more about ley lines again.
Okay. This will probably take the entire night, so it would be what would be daytime as you start to end this. Meanwhile, Cal, after turning around and going back towards the Grey District, making your way throughout the Magus District, Dust District, Iron District, so on and so forth, until finally, after about a little less than an hour, you make it towards the outreaches of the Grey District. Roll me an... you don't have to roll. You know exactly the way to get back to the Knights of Equipoise. But you do make it to that side alley towards the door that you had recognized as the entryway to the Knights of Equipoise. Heirs of Equipoise.
I walk into the door without even thinking to pause.
Okay. Walking up to the door, it's a little strange because you look down and you can see the door's ajar. Usually it's been sealed shut and secret, but it looks like it to be open and you hear some sounds coming from the inside.
I keep my disguise up for the moment and walk in.
Okay. You go ahead and open up the door. It slides open. That hallway that you passed through before that leads out into the open area, you can see it from here easily. You see everyone sitting at the same table, not paying attention to you, not noticing you entering in there, and standing at the kind of on top of tables, as if everyone's looking towards them, are two dwarves. One you recognize as Ulathar, the other you've not seen before. And you, and it's a loud commotion. You hear them shouting out. One person shouts out, "So what now?" With Cold Hammer down, someone has to take lead. And more people are like, "Ah!" And they're all just kind of shouting.
I walk up to the both of them and kind of stand in between the two and walk up and kind of put my arm down, trying to dispel the argument. And I drop my disguised self.
Okay.
"What's going on? You said Master Regen is down? Ulathar, what's happening?"
"Kale, And Ulathar looks shocked, and everyone kind of turns and sees you, and they all start to whisper, "It's the Mortal Key! The Mortal Key is here!" "Right, Kale, I didn't expect you. Are you alright?"
"I'm fine."
"Huh. So the Mortal Key comes running back here. This is exactly why I need to take leadership. Listen."
"Sorry, I was a little busy holding the Arcanum up from the throne."
And the gentleman who was talking "Forgive to you me." Was another stout dwarf. He has kind of scraggly black hair and a full beard and looks very unkempt, but still wears the Knights of Equipoise outfit. And he's standing right next to him, on top of these tables, Ulathar as well. But then, after he's mentioning sitting on the throne, he turns to you.
"Tchah! So while you were holding up the Corporis, the rest of the knights that you, I thought, were supposed to be on the side on and swear to protect were dying. And now Master Regen is on his deathbed. Somehow you turned out to be putting all our hopes in some Kelimvor fable."
"Had I not sat on the throne, I would guess that all of you wouldn't be here."
Roll intimidation check.
That is a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. All right. He looks at you and kind of like takes a step back slightly, but he stands his ground nonetheless. And you can tell he's shorter than Ulathar, who's already pretty short. And he looks in over towards you.
"Well, whatever. I'm taking over here. My name is Pox, and I'm going to be the new leader. We don't need some fable from Kelimvor. What we need to do is band together, take out those bloodsuckers, take back what's rightfully ours. We are the Knights of Equipoise, and to bring balance to this undead that I'm sure they all had something to do with, we have to strike. And I say we strike now."
And people start talking, and then there's a commotion. And you see Ulathar just standing there, just looking back in shock, not sure what to do.
Can I make an insight check on Pox?
Sure.
See how, like, I just want to get a feel for him, because I really don't trust what he's saying, and it seems strange that he's speaking up now so fervently when his leader is down. That's a 9, so I probably am not gonna get much out of that.
Yeah, you never met Pox before. He was definitely not at the last meeting you were here before, so you don't know who this guy is to come up here and claim leadership, but you can't get a beat on him.
Okay.
And where were you, Pox, the last time I was here?
That is none of your concern. I was doing Equipoise business.
Right.
Now listen up, everyone. You can stand by here with weak Ulathar Brighthammer, who hasn't done a single thing. He is the one who was supposed to be guarding the captain. And now look, Kohlhammer's down on his watch. We'll go ahead, storm the districts, make sure we wipe out those bloodsuckers. And know what? Why don't we free all of Thelos as well? Get rid of these undead, that's our job. We're wasting time here. And people seem to be riling up, getting on his side. And then Ulathar just doesn't seems to be not saying anything, not defending himself.
I slam my fist on the table.
Damn you, the undead are leaving this damn city already. And as for Drusilla, she'll be leaving here quite shortly as well. What, you think I just sit around and not do anything when I leave this place? Now that I know that I have brothers in arms, I'm pushing the will of Kalemvor to rid this city of undead, including the vampires. They want to leave this place as badly as you want them out.
Pox looks on over towards you.
Are you siding with them? Are you taking the side of those undead freaks?
I slew a dozen of those undead freaks.
So why don't you slew some more then? What do you know about Drusilla?
Drusilla is tired of this place, and she's scared. Not of you, but of the reason all of this is happening. The reason that I have to get back to Fia. I just came here to do whatever I could for Master Regen, because that's what's right.
What can you do? Our best paladins have poured their power into him, and nothing. Not even that bloody king was able to do anything. He's a goner. I will lead the knights to the righteous path. No longer will we sit here and praise Kelimvor for balance. His aspect of Hades is the way. He is who we should follow.
Absolutely not.
And who do you think you are? Just because you're the mortal key, you're a mistake made by Kelimvor. Hades seeks to do things right. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, I felt a change. His will be among us. The true Aegis. The one who turned to balance out the forces of death. Hades will lead us to salvation. But to do his bidding, we must send him a sacrifice and destroy those bloodsuckers, sending them back to his domain. Are you with me? Leave your shackles of Kelimvor. Embrace the power of Hades, and you shall have your dreams come true. And you see everyone in the crowd starts to shake their heads and nod up and down.
All of you, do not listen to this, because they are exactly what he says. Dreams. When you stand as a true believer in Kelimvor, he guides you to do what's right. To maintain the balance, that is what we need. Hades will only bring upon damnation.
Roll me a persuasion check.
A persuasion. Ugh, that's an 11.
An 11. Looks like some are starting to listen to you. You know that the Knights of Equipoise, they believe in balance and they're an order of Kelimvor. Though they respected Hades, and though you've always, if you recall back, felt something off about Hades, especially when it came to Regen. But nevertheless, as your words reach out to them, someone try to turn you, they turn back as the louder voice standing up on top of the table of this dwarven man, Pox goes,
empty words, brothers and sisters. Kelimvor has been empty. The Proelestai are no longer in power. They aren't being who we should worship. That's just why Kelimvor switched to his aspect of Hades. He is what we should follow. Don't you feel his presence? It's stronger. It's here. So follow me, my brethren, and we will wipe out those undead scourge, starting with those vampires as a sacrifice.
And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, and everyone starts to agree, and it seems like it's almost like mob mentality as they're starting to agree with Pox. At this point, you see, with your passive perception, Ulithar sneak off the table as a crowd is starting to get closer towards Pox and kind of chant him on. As he sneaks past and through it, he runs up to you and he pulls you and says, "Cal, come on, let's go. Now."
"What about all of these devoted?" I say, sarcastically.
"We have to worry about us. If we stay here any longer, I'm afraid that Pox might get us imprisoned or worse. You don't know what happened these past few days."
"This is all my fault."
"It's not your fault. It's mine."
And he's pulling you out, leaving towards the outside of the building, closing the door behind him. As you're back out into the alleyway streets, he just begins walking into some random direction.
"Cal, after the battle with the undead, we fought, and Regan was hurt. I know I was supposed to be protecting him. I'm his second in command. But something, I don't know, a force, I can't explain it. The undead kept me back. They shouldn't have been able to keep me back, but they did. And out of nowhere, Pox, he was just a simple private. He has barely any paladin power. Came and just showed so much force, so much vigor, and saved Regan when I couldn't. Everyone began to sway to his side, and now he's doing this fanatic, trying to rupture the balance we have with the vampires. Like, no, that's not what we're meant to do. We're supposed to keep balance here."
"Exactly."
"And now they're worshiping Hades."
"Ulithar, this is my fault. I've activated my mortal key abilities, and in doing so, I fear that Hades is trying to balance his own scale."
"What?"
And he just has this confused look on his face.
"This is all my doing."
Kale, I don't know what you're talking about. It's not your fault. It's the fault. It's anyone's but mine. I would protect the Regan. He can step. I mean, he was a cold bastard, I know, but like, he kept order, and he knew how to balance the forces of both Kalimbor and Hades. Pox, I don't even know anything about him. I should have been there. Should have swayed him to my side. He has a way with words. Almost unnatural."
"I think Hades has found his own champion."
"I don't know. Listen, I might be able to get help from other heirs of Equipoise who have not returned. Maybe if I can get them on our side, maybe we can wrestle back control of the heirs of Equipoise. I don't want to start a war with the vampires. They'll wipe us out. We'll wipe each other out. That's not the way."
"I met with Drusilla. She said she wants to leave the city. She plans on leaving it soon."
"Why would you meet with Drusilla? It's dangerous, Kale. Alone?"
"Yes. It was the only way she would meet. She had people following me all throughout the city. I killed a few of them as they delivered the message."
"Kale, they're dangerous."
"I understand they're dangerous, but they also want to leave this place. They're afraid of, well, pure, unadulterated chaos. The exact thing we need to unite against, not divide ourselves between Kalimbor and Hades."
I don't know. You're saying to team up with vampires against chaos?"
"Not team up. They know that I will descend further into the void. It's inevitable. Don't look at me like that. It's something I have to do. Something the mortal key has to do."
Roll me a persuasion check at advantage.
Okay. Oh my gosh. That is an 8.
An 8.
Dropping a natural 1 for a 4.
Ulithar looks worried. You're just mentioning the vampire is going deep in the void, chaos. As much as you're trying to soothe him, he just looks very worried right now.
"They want to dive deeper to another layer of the void. Place that they call their home."
"And you want to take them back home?"
"Well, it's not here."
"That's so.
I want to lock them away. It's a dark place."
It sounds dangerous, Kale. I don't know. I mean, you're the more okay. So whatever you say, I'm sure whatever you have to do is right. You're made from Kalimbor. His essence is a way to save us all. If you feel that's the right thing to do, then sure. Take the undead out. Just be safe. And watch out. Pox, he's a fanatic. He probably won't stop you."
"Honestly, Drusilla is the least of my worries right now. Pox is more of a problem. But there's an elf. He calls himself Duramo. He's, how can I put it? He's kind of like Erebos in the same way that I'm the mortal key with Kalemvor, and he wants to do unspeakable things, bringing in chaos and entropy, destroying everything that we know and love. These vampires, they just want to leave. They don't want to be here anymore. But Duramo, he wants to destroy the air we breathe, the very cobblestones we stand on, everything. Do you understand, Ulathar? There's just more at stake. This is what we need to get through to their heads. They're in some kind of fury right now. They're reeling from the loss of their leader. I get that. But when they cool off and they stop beating the drums of war, they're going to need someone who's really going to be there to lead them. And someone who understands that the balance between life and death and right and wrong is in more danger from the chaos of the universes. The void.
And that leader should be you, Kale. No, the way.
I can't lead when I'm not here, Ulathar. It needs to be you.
Is it me?
I have a path. One that at times it seems that I'm just running through walls with. And I can't have others running through walls with me.
I don't know, Kale. I can't lead. You saw me in there. I can't lead them. I can barely get a word in. I'm sorry.
Ulathar, you're a paladin, right?
Yeah.
What's your oath? We're all paladins of Kalemvor. But we each have our own oath. I have an oath of conquest to find all of these undead and send them back where they belong.
He turns to you and says, My oath is of glory. You have the powers of Kalemvor. He tips the balance in my favor, and I can be quicker, stronger, and shout his glory from the high heavens to the lowest pits. And look at me. I can barely speak to my own pals, my own comrades. I'm friends. Might as well be an oath breaker.
Ulathar, don't speak like that.
Look.
You need to stand with glory. Find that extra speed, that extra wit that will win you back your men. Find glory in Master Regen.
I'll try.
You need to do more than try, Ulathar. Look at me. I need to know that I'm leaving the heirs of Equipoise in strong hands. Ones that will fight their way to the top. Kick and claw and bite because they're doing what's right and not what I feel is going to be a dive into chaos.
Will be another persuasion check at advantage.
Oh, here we go. A 14.
14, okay. Okay. Ulathar looks up at you and as your words seem to connect to something in him, as you see he's starting to steal his resolve, he takes a deep breath and swallows hard. Right. You're our Kale. I'll try to get as much allies as I can. And then we'll take back the Knights of Equipoise. You go and do your mortal key stuff. Save the world, Kale. No, you can. I'll hold the front here as best as I can. And he puts his hand on your shoulder and gives it like a firm grip and begins to walk away from you going another direction.
Okay. As he's starting to walk away, I kind of half remember.
Tomorrow we ride out for the Rainbow Ridge Estate, and we're going to take out that lich that caused this attack. Maybe we'll see you there.
He gives you a smile and continues walking off after lifting his hands up, his right hand up, and then giving like a slight wave before fading off in between the buildings. Right. Is there anything else you wish to do, Cal? Or are you heading back?
I think I'm going to head back because I think it would be not the wisest choice to try to go back inside the hideout now.
Okay. All right. So you begin to make your way back. Are you staying in your regular back to tiefling form, or are you putting on your disguise?
I will be back to tiefling form. I can only do the disguise self once a day.
Okay. Understood. And you start to make your way back in the wee hours of the night to, and it's completely empty now. Everyone's sleeping at this point, though some guards who are walking by who are cleaning up the mess, and you do see the rubble, and since you came from the Grey District, you see all the damage that goes up to the Iron District, almost getting towards the Dust District. Mm-hmm. And kind of take that all in and continue making your way back quickly, as you have your street ability, to the manor. Meanwhile, rewinding the clock back a little bit, King, Monaco, you are embracing each other, in the backyard or in the side patio as the trees are still forming up, making its cocoon that is slowly embracing you. What are you two doing?
I'm just sort of like sitting there, and I figured like after we finished hugging, like we're just sort of sitting there, like hanging out under this tree as this stuff grows around us. Cause I said I wanted to just be in nature for a little while. And then after like an hour, my stomach will grumble and I'll be like, I think the house might have finished cooking by now, you think?
It'll be good to stretch our legs anyway. Come on, let's go check it out.
Yeah, and I'll get up and walk with Monaco and just sort of like notice that my chest doesn't hurt as much and think about how clear it is so quickly. And internally I'm recalling like the memories of, or like recalling the feelings of everything that happened and sort of replaying everything. And my ruby bracelet will light up and I will DM a message to Cal. And then I will go in and have dinner.
All right. You go in after sending a direct message to Cal, which at some point, Cal, you would have received this during all this and put it in the back of your mind. Yeah. Yeah, it would happen when you were traveling, definitely. Or at least when you got up towards the end of your travel. But the two of you head towards the kitchen. Monaco, are you going with King?
Yeah.
Okay.
She follows suit, saying that it'll be good to have a meal.
And there's a lovely spread there after the hour you wait. The food has been placed across the table. And this is one of the first times you've eaten on the inside. You usually ate outside, but now you see that it's all of the seats for each of you of your party has been placed. There are silverware and other types of apparatus that you can use to consume, all native to Thelos. But for the most part, you figure out what does what. There are bottles of wine and mead, as well as a glorious spread of meats, fruits, vegetables, and nuts, and so on and so forth, placed there. And you see four of the automatons stop and turn towards you as you enter. Hello, 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 master, sirs. Welcome, welcome to your dinner. Please enjoy.
Thank you. And I'll proceed to get a plate and put one bite of each of the various different things on my plate and get like a bite of everything.
Okay.
So wonderful to see a spread. Oh, you're dismissed, house.
Thank you. And they all go into the walls, disappearing once again.
Oh, before you go, house, could you alert Horatio that dinner is ready? I think he's in the study.
Will do, masters, as they finally go into the walls and disappear.
I'm so glad that you're feeling better, King. I was so worried about you.
Me too.
I wasn't sure if anything was gonna work out.
I don't know what happened. I just wanted to take a minute to rest, and I just buckled over, and it hurt so bad. I'm sorry for hurting you. I heard you recoil. And I heard you, like, gargle before when I touched you.
Yeah. You... It's okay.
You
gave me a moment.
You sounded like, I don't know. It sounded like you were really hurt. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's not you, King.
What? I'll, like, gesture towards the ruby and be like, what did you do? What spell could seal this? I thought there was no possibility.
It took an ingenuity and some work. I had to make a bargain on your behalf. Not anything for you. You're okay. I just, you know, I really want to make sure that you come out of this.
Oh, man. I want to believe you, but when you say on my behalf, do I believe her?
Roll an insight check.
Here, I'll do it in the tower and you could tell me if I...
Monaco, you can do in the tower and roll whatever one you want to do if you are lying to him. Deception if you're being truthful and honest, and persuasion. Okay. King, she seems sincere. Say she was trying to help you. Through what means, you're not exactly sure. You don't know how her warlock-like magic works, but it seems like she genuinely was trying to help you in some fashion.
Oh, okay. So after I sort of look her in the eyes and she says that, and I feel that, I'll say, I hope that the price you pay and the bargain you made didn't cost too much.
She gives you a smile, and kind of looks away a little bit, and you see her lips quiver. And she says, well, if it all works out, everything should work out. But hey, I'm so happy to have this spread. When everything happened, we didn't get anything. It was a mess. But I think we should.
I know, I'm so hungry.
Distressed?
Yes, this is so good. And I'll, like, slowly take bites of each of them and eat and just sort of.
Okay.
I'm not gonna pour a big glass of wine. I just
no, right. Sort of be there.
In a plane.
Yeah, I'm just sort of being there.
And it's a kind of a quiet but awkward dinner, but it's delicious nonetheless. The wine is top-notch, very great vintage. You have a quiet meal. Duran, during this, are you going to be heading in at some point, or are you going to kind of stay out and head to bed?
Duran's going to stay out, and so he stays out and he trains on what he remembered from Kai, the time he spent with Kai, and after that, he's going to, he's probably going to go back inside to go take a look at the Chaos Blade that didn't go to the future.
Okay. And all right, so you go back inside, open up the door, you walk by, and you do see that they're eating their meals together, but kind of looking on over. I'm assuming you're not going to head over and still heading directly to your room. Duran, is that your plan, just continue, just go straight to your room?
He looks and he shakes his head as he sees everyone eating, and he keeps going to the room to go get to the blade.
Okay, so you walk up the stairs, turning towards your left, stepping up the very beautiful ornate steps. You walk down the hallway and get towards your door. As you open it up, you see everything where it was, your stuff as well as King's stuff that he lives around. Between the two of you are in there. And so stepping in and looking around, you look around for your magnetic blade, and you're, at least from a glance, it doesn't look like it's anywhere to be found.
Does the blade he's holding now still have the covering, like the matching one he got for him and King's spear?
Yes, it does.
Is it still intact, or is it, like, time-worn?
It's time-worn.
Duran's gonna investigate the room to see if anything happened or someone got in and took the blade.
Alright, roll me investigation check.
Great investigator. Duran the Investigator. Duran rolls a 10.
A 10. You look around, you look up. Other than finding the things that you've left there and King's things that he's left there, it doesn't seem like anything's been moved or anyone's entered it since you came. Well, since you left, I mean.
Duran brain chats everyone. The magnetic blade, Rafflesia, that was inside this room before he left, it's no longer here. Has someone moved it or taken it?
I'll respond. No one can move that sword but you.
Well, someone must have.
Come to the kitchen so we can speak in person, and then I'll stop brain chatting.
Why do we need to speak in person?
I'm not going to respond to him.
Yeah. You don't hear a response after a while, King, Duran.
Duran goes down to speak with him in person.
Okay. So Duran, you make your way downstairs, and in mid-meal, you see Monaco and King having it. Both of you turn towards your right and see Duran opening, walking through the large doors that lead into the kitchen and dining room area.
Maybe you've forgotten because of what happened, but we don't try not to, rather, say sensitive information to to everyone over the device, because the evil wizard Duramo has access to our communications. They are compromised.
King, the blade is missing.
I cannot move it. I do not have it. And I will open up the portable hole and, like, put it on the wall and be like, you can check in the portable hole if you think it's in there. But perhaps jumping through timelines has connected them or severed them or conjoined them. Maybe the one from the past is the one you have right now.
We never asked Kai how he got his hands on the blade. We don't know whose hands the blade might be passing through now.
Well, perhaps someone can look for it tomorrow or in the future. If there's nothing that can be done right now, and I'll roll up the portable hole since he's not going in it, put it in my pouch, and sit back down and take a bite. Why don't you come eat? The automatons...
You remember seeing what this blade did during the fight with Deja. You understand its connection to Kaelic powers, King.
Do you not have it? Do you have one in your possession right now?
Yes.
Well then, don't you think it's greedy to try and have two?
King, you are letting your mind be clouded.
You'll have to speak to Horatio. He might be able to understand and explain it better to you. There might not be able to be more than one of those blades at a time. Jumping with it might have, I don't know, done something to it.
Well, I guess it wouldn't hurt to have a look. I mean, Deja was pretty sneaky.
How many more questions can you ask?
I'm sure they could answer. And she will extract the tiny cage and tap it once and say, did you or another agent of yours...
Wait, Monaco.
Huh?
You can ask it another question. Why not ask it more about what the Blood of Gaia does to defeat Duramo?
I really don't feel right holding on to this for much longer. Let's just ask what we need to ask.
All right. Perhaps leave a question for when Cal and Horatio return. They might have something worth asking.
And King, you're confident that this doesn't mean that the blade was taken and that someone is using it with chaotic energy and malicious intent?
I don't know, but perhaps we can look to see if there is a second version of it in this world. But I don't know. I believe we asked the house. House, logs, bring up the logs. Has anyone come to this residence in the past 24 hours or 48 hours?
One of the automatons comes out of the wall, stepping its way towards you. Hello, masters. No, there has been no entry of anyone else other than yourselves.
Admin privilege. Override. I'm just going to say words to it and say, access the full logs, full history. Was there any traces of tampering or deletion from your memory?
He looks at you a little, it looks like you're a little inquisitive, and says, Master, if you're wondering if anyone has tampered with my memories, no. That is not how I operate. I'm a fully automatonous entity. And therefore, unless a very powerful mage were to come into play, an only person who can override a magic that has been instilled by the magus of this corporis arcana would not be able to do so.
No one has been here, Doran. If the blade was at this residence, it should still be here. So I think when we reappeared at this time and you had the blade in your presence, it came and became one here.
Doran shrugs.
Okay. Are you saying... So, Doran, are you going to stay for dinner or are you heading back up to your room?
Doran's not going to stick around for dinner.
But the automaton slaved for a full hour to make this spread. You're just going to walk away?
Well, I'm happy someone was doing something useful at the time.
I just look back dejected.
Okay. So, Doran, you walk back towards your room. King Monaco, you continue to finish your meals. Time passes on until eventually you get full, King Monaco. Doesn't seem like Horatio came down, probably lost or stuck at studying, as he always is, but Cal doesn't return as well, and neither does Durant come back down, so the two of you finish up your meals. What would you like to do?
I'm gonna make a plate of food and then call the house over and be like, bring this to Horatio so he eats. He's probably just stuck studying. And I'm going to say, Monaco, I need to take a shower and lie down in the morning. Just wake me up in the morning, please.
Sure. Monaco's, finishing her third glass right now. Oh, no, she's finished. she's halfway through a second bottle. Just really hitting it.
Roll me a constitution saving throw.
A 5.
You are extremely drunk right now. This is a very potent wine that you've gotten, because it's a high-class area, it's the Light District, so you're pretty woozy right now.
What time is it?
From what you're able to gather, it's pretty late, so it's probably getting to be like close to midnight at this point.
You're so cute, King. Did you know that?
Oh.
I'm sorry. You're just, your head's so fluffy. Can I just... give you a little, like, and then she, like, plays with her hair.
Yeah, I do it every morning. It makes me feel good. I like when my hair's done. You want me to? I could do it for you too. It only takes me a few minutes.
Oh, I have a whole mess of stuff I do for my hair, King.
Have you tried magic?
Oh, yes. I do so much magic in my hair. You have no idea. And she, like, does a hair flip.
I'll do a hair flip, but I'm going to cast Prestidigitation, and, like, it's going to, like, sparkle like anime sparkles when my hair flips through the air.
I'm so happy that you're my friend, King.
Me too.
We're going to be happy together, I think.
I think so, too. I'm going to take a shower.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go to my bedroom and not take a shower and do something else.
I'm going to sit back and drink.
Okay, so Minaki, you spend the night drinking. We'll see.
Looking sad.
We'll see how that affects you in the morning. But as you look sad and continue drinking, King, you walk up to your room and you hear some shuffling around in there, realizing that Duran is in there before you.
I will walk into the room, pick up my bags and my things, and I will say, I think you want to be alone tonight. I will be in one of the other guest rooms and wait for him to respond. And if he doesn't, I'll just walk out.
He responds with a head nod.
All right. So I will... I was in the room when I said that. I'll walk to the door frame and put my hand on the door frame and look over my shoulder at him. Wait a second. 2, 3. And then I'll walk away. I'll go into one of the other guest rooms down the hall.
Okay. Duran, you hear the door closes. And King, you can easily pick any of the many other rooms that are on this hall. You know, Cal's a door over, and Monaco and all so on. So you could pick it towards
I'm
the
going
end.
To... Yeah, so I'll go into one of the other guest rooms and go over to the desk. And I'm going to pull out my religious texts. I'm going to pull out the Tome of Influence and Leadership that I read. And I'm going to pull out... a notebook, and I'm going to start writing a manuscript and manifesto of my legacy and what I would want a ruler and what I would want people to do, using the knowledge of my people, anticipating that I might need to supernova in a few days. So I want to leave direction to the elves and the people, and like just start writing like a manuscript of King.
Okay, so you start to write your manuscript of King, writing down all the things you want people to do and your knowledge, and take the evening to complete that within this room, the door slamming shut. So the hours pass by. Cal, you eventually arrive, opening up the door, the stepping in. Unless you're sneaking back through your window.
I'm sneaking back in through my window.
Okay, Cal, you sneak back in, easily climbing back up. Roll me a stealth check.
That's a 12.
So, not as stealthy this time, but Duran, you probably definitely would have heard some noise coming from Cal's window.
Oh, Duran's gonna...
Because you're not too far
Duran's away. Gonna stealth over to find out what that noise was if he heard something in the middle of the night. He's definitely gonna grab a blade first.
All right. Duran, roll me your perception check.
He rolls a 13.
Okay, you kind of quickly look out the window, grabbing your blade, but that second was just a little too slow for you to see fully, but you see some boots go into Cal's window.
He sees boots go into the window?
Yeah.
Oh no, he's gonna have to climb up and investigate.
Okay. No need to roll your super dexterous, that, or you could just fly, but you go out your window holding your blade, flying, and make your way across into the window a couple doors over until eventually you peek on through and see Cal. Cal, what are you doing going into your bedroom?
I quickly get up onto my feet and lay out my guns so that way they can be repaired and or cleaned. That's what it looks like I'm doing when if anyone comes in.
Okay. So that's all you see, Duran?
Durant's gonna knock on his glass from outside of his window.
Ting, ting, ting.
I look over and open the window.
Durant's kind of like hanging under the window, Assassin's Creed style.
Can I help you, Duran? I think this is a little much for a perimeter check.
I saw a pair of boots slip into your room.
Huh. Well, I don't see any extra boots lying around.
So it was you?
Yes.
Duran nods his head. He thinks for a moment before he gets ready to just slip back down to his room and drop.
Did I miss anything, Duran?
No. But if you should find any of those fruit again, or before... You've seen how King has been.
Yes, he needs to be healed.
Durant shakes his head. I do not think he is fragile and on the brink. The next time you have a fruit like that, it might be wiser to give it to someone else.
So you're saying don't give it to him?
He's on the brink of something.
But what if...
Cal.
I understand, but what if the power of that fruit heals him? What if it closes his wound?
I doubt it.
Wasn't it you who's always kind of curious in your understanding of how magic works? What if that's what this divine magic would do?
He had one before, didn't he?
Yeah, but I feel like the fruit gives you what you need in that moment. Maybe we just needed raw power. I don't know. But we'll be wary either way. We can't lose King.
Do what you want. It's just my advice. And Duran is gonna... drop down after saying that.
Good night, Duran. And I close the window. After I close the window, I would like to sneak over to King's room.
Well, you're not sure exactly where King is.
I'm not. That is true. Can I see if any of the lights are on underneath the doors, knowing where he had been staying with Duran, so not that room?
Okay. I'll say you come out the room. Roll me an investigation check.
That's a 7. Rolling really well tonight.
I did send him a message and like planned for this to happen. So I would have, that was the DM I sent him was to come see me this evening. So knowing that I could have left, like prestidigitated like a symbol on my door that just says King, cause I can do that. It'll last for an hour if he'll come or, something, you know what I mean? Like, I could have ruffled the carpet in front of my room or something. I don't know.
No, that's fine. And with a 7, it's fine because you step out your room and you look over to where King and Duran normally stay. But in looking to your left, you do see some type of activity down the hall. Walking down, eventually, you didn't see like some type of. You, with just your passive insight, you can tell that something or someone's here. And also from the direction Duran came. So he definitely came from where their room was.
So I opened that door to King's room.
Yeah, I don't have the door unlocked. So when the door opens, I'll look to you and you'll see me like sitting at the desk writing and I'll just like sort of leave it there.
King, you wanted me to come over?
I might need your help.
What do you need help with?
I don't know what happened exactly earlier today when you were gone. I went to just sort of be alone and meditate and see if I could understand, you know, and I'll like start unbuttoning my jacket and vest to like my chest. And it just started to hurt so bad. And the foliage around me started to grow. And Monaco saw this and ran out. And I started to like get like a headache and a vision. And I felt like I saw like, I don't know. The halls of the gods, one would say, maybe Eustacia, or, you know, rolling fields, and I could hear angelic voices of other beings and powers, and I felt like I was in two places at once, and in this moment of just, like, complexity, I lost myself, and Monaco called for the others, and I'll, like, pull back the shirt completely and cast a spell on me and called forth a ritual. She told me she made a deal and a bargain, and the ruby is now blocking me, and as you can see, I'm still radiating energy, but now it is tainted with this red glow, and I heard a voice. I heard a voice. I don't know what it said. And when I touched her, there was this poison. And I felt a resistance. And the divinity pushed it and pushed out whatever was enveloping her for a moment. And she felt the pain I was in, but welcomed that darkness back. And finished the ritual and sealed this crack within me. I think she bound a demon when inside me. And I would rather die and save my friends than let a demon take over me. So in a moment in the future, should we need it, I want you to unlock this crack on me. Use your powers to open the seal and let me become the deity I have to be.
King.
I know it's a lot, and it's asking you basically to light a fuse to dynamite, but you're the only one now that I think I can trust. Horatio let her do it. He was standing right there. I feel fine, and I feel great right now. And I think she really does want to help me, but the darkness scares me, and I would rather be a being of light and radiance than harbor darkness inside of me. I feel tainted. I don't feel like myself. I feel fine, and I don't even feel it, but I know it's there. And I just sort of, like, offer, like, a shaky hand.
I'll see. I take his hand. There might be something I can do. But sitting on that throne, it drained me.
I know. We're all weak right now. I didn't mean this moment. I just wanted you to know for in the future if something should happen.
What if I tried to remove it?
I probably would leak radiance and slowly burn away again, but I would rather bear that burden and feel that pain every moment than have this ruby taint.
All right. So your conversation goes on and you start to speak about the next steps of what if happens. And it seems like as you're talking, almost as you look at it, Cal, the scar in his chest looks almost like a heartbeat. The way that this red filter pulsates in and out, and you see it. And even though you don't have a tie to your divine sense right now, it definitely puts your hair on edge. Is there anything else you two wish to discuss about before night's end?
I'm starting to write a manuscript for the people and the kingdom I was meant to run. Should I fall, can you please pass on my will to Sariel or someone of the elves? And I'll, like, gesture towards the table. I cannot let the knowledge I've learned go to waste.
I look up at King and I put a hand on his shoulder. By the might of Kalemvor, you will hand over those words yourself, and it will be your people's constitution, not a will.
Thank you, my stalwart friend.
I think once we get to Fia, it'll become clear what we have to do with Duran. He's not lost, King. Have faith that we'll find balance once more.
Yes, we need to find the balance.
No one better to do that than the Mortal Key.
Right.
Right?
And I have faith. I have enough faith for all of us. I believe we can do it together.
I do too. But enough writing for tonight. You need your rest.
You're right. We all do. I'll put down the quill and close the book. Thanks for stopping by.
After all.
Sorry.
Of course. And after all, we got a lich to take.
Yes. The perversion of undead must be driven from the lands. That is a scourge you and I agree on completely. All right. Good night.
Good night, King.
I'll, like, walk him to the door. We'll close it behind him.
And I will quietly go back to bed. And finish repairing my weapons. Spend an hour soul searching for Kalemvor with this new shotgun that I have, and then go to bed.
Okay. So, Cal, you enter your room, King closing the door behind him. You finish writing up your manifesto before going off into sleep. Cal, you do the same, focusing onto the gun that was given to you by King Terminus. Feeling a connection to Kalemvor, a connection to your adoptive father, even a connection to King Terminus himself. And on that thought, you're comforted and you fall asleep. King, as you go to sleep for this night and you drift off into slumber, Your mind goes somewhere, not the normal place that it goes when you visit your inner mindscape where you see Mileyki, though not very different. The scene, like the darkness comes around you and you see your arms and your legs, and you are all of a sudden popping up within the scene are mountains and caverns farther than the eye can see, and you're standing on top one of the tallest of it. Beneath your feet is the summit of a mountain, and the sky is red with this end filled with the smell of fire and brimstone. Sitting on top about 6 feet away from you on top of a small spire, or a tall spire, but still able to see, is the dark visage of a man in a tuxedo with stripes going down, his bony hands flaming with flesh, and his face just covered in darkness with two large infernal wings on his back. Hello, King to be crowned. I thought that it'd be best we had a small discussion. And with that, we're going to end tonight's session.
What?
Spoopy.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This ominous magic music, too.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Thank you, everyone who listens. Quite the impactful episode. As always, thank you, fans, so much. We love you from the first chapter to the last page. Be kind to one another. Love one another. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye.
Bye, Internet.